Well, today what we're going to do is we're going to continue a series that we're calling Living Biblically. Living Biblically, you can see that on the screen. And simply what we're doing in this series is we're opening the Bible, we're opening a scripture. And as we open the scripture and read different scriptures, what we want to do is we not only want to look at it, but our thought is, what would it look like if we applied these teachings to our lives? Okay? And I want to let you know, if we would be people that would read the Bible and we would apply what we read to our lives, there would be a radical transformation in our lives. How many people agree with that? Yes? Amen. So that would be great. Thank you, Jake, for your amen there. The rest of you can join him throughout the message this morning, okay? So what we're doing in the first 2 weeks of this series, we took a closer look at the word stewardship. Stewardship. We looked at that week one, and then last week on Snowy Sunday, we looked at stewardship. And what we did is we discovered that the fundamental principle behind stewardship is this. Everybody get this. The fundamental principle of stewardship is what? God owns everything. Okay? God owns everything. So what we did a couple weeks ago, we stood in the bucket and the symbolizing that God, everything that I am belongs in the bucket. Everything I am belongs to you. So we stood in the bucket saying, God, you own everything. Okay? It's all his. He's the owner. We're not the owner. God's the owner of everything. Okay? And actually, we are called in scriptures to be stewards of what God has given us. Another word for steward is the word we're called to be managers. God entrusts us to manage the things that he has given us in a way that would be pleasing, in a way that would glorify him. So that's what stewardship is all about. God, everything I have is yours. All my time, talents, abilities, the people you placed in my life, God, it's all yours. I put myself in the bucket. I'm yours. Have your way in my life, okay? So that's very important. By the way, one of the fundamental scriptures of stewardship can be found on the screen. Psalm 24:1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him." I love that. The earth is the Lord's. Everything is his. Everything. Everybody just say that together. Everything is his. The world and all the people on this planet, all those people, all these things, they belong to God. He's the owner. We're the stewards. We're the managers. We got a big assignment in front of us, okay? Everybody take a deep breath. That was a lot. Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to tackle a word that a lot of pastors and a lot of churches would rather not talk about because it's a very difficult word, but it's a word that's really important. My conviction is this. If I were not to talk about this word, it would do you a tremendous disservice. I would be ripping you off. I would be withholding some information from you that can totally transform and change your life. And not only is that true of you as an individual, I believe I would be doing the kingdom of God a major, major disservice if we did not talk about this word this morning. So I'm going to man up. And we're going to get ready, and we're going to talk about the word today is this. The word today is tithe. Everybody say that together, tithe. And everybody say, oh, I picked the wrong week to be here. No, you didn't. This is a great week to be here this morning. And we talk about this probably every 2 or 3 years, so it's been a while. And I want to talk about this. Actually, I missed my turn last time. I gave my turn up to Erlen. Remember that when he talked about tithing? So now it's my turn again. So is everybody ready? We're going to go for it. So, by the way, how many people, just raise your hand, how many people have heard that word before? You don't hear that word a lot in secular society, but you do hear that word a lot within the walls of church, okay? So the word tithe or tithing, basically, it's real simple. It's a Hebrew word, and it's a Hebrew word that means one-tenth. One-tenth, or in my vernacular, it simply means 10%. 10%. So one-tenth, 10%, that's what we mean when we say the word tithe, okay? So the thought behind tithing is that God's people are to give 10% of their income back to God. So they receive their income from their employer, that they give 10% back to God. Why? This is why. So that the work of God can go forward. So the work of God can go forward. I want to suggest that we as people can hinder the work of God by not obeying God's command to tithe. But I would suggest that when people begin to give as unto the Lord, it's amazing what God can do in small settings, big settings, the kingdom setting. When people will buy into God's plan, it's amazing that the kingdom of God can go forward with power, because you say, well, God, couldn't God do it anyway? Well, here's the deal. God has limited himself to work through people. And one of the ways he works through people is through our obedience, through our giving. And it's through that we team, we partner together with God so that we can do the work of the kingdom together. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is I want to give you some biblical foundation, some biblical support. These aren't my ideas. These aren't things that I came up with. These are long before me. They're found in the scripture. So let's look to the screen, give our attention to the screen. You can write these down. There's no sermon notes. My fear was if I had sermon notes, some of you would have looked at them before service and said, we're out of here, okay? So we didn't do that today. You're in now. Shut the doors, lock the doors. Everybody's in for the next 20 minutes, okay? So let's look at some biblical foundation for tithing. Genesis 14, verse 18 through 20. And it reads like this, and it says, and Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem and a priest of God Most High, what did he do? He brought Abram, who we know today as Abraham, he brought him some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abraham with this blessing. He said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies. Then Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods that he had recovered. So here's the picture. Abraham and his people were facing a battle that was bigger than them. But here's what happened. God showed up and God brought the victory. They didn't do it. God brought the victory through them. Abraham recognized that we could have never done this without God. So in an act of thanksgiving and as an act of worship, what Abraham does is he brings to the priest, whose name is Melchizedek, he brings a tenth of the goods that he recovered as a way of saying, Lord, thank you. There's no way we could have done this without you. You gave us the victory. We didn't do it. You did. So God, we want to give back to you just a tenth of the spoils, okay? By the way, there's people in crowds that will say, well, we don't tithe because we believe tithing is a part of the law, meaning the law of Moses. But I want to let you know this story that we just read, these verses we just read, actually predate the law by at least 500 years. So even before the law was given, we're seeing that they were tithing. Abraham bought the tithe. So tithing is not the law. It's actually a principle. And I would go further than that. I think tithing is an issue of our heart. It's an issue of our heart that as we draw closer to God in our heart, as a response of the thanksgiving, the goodness of God in our life, we say, God, I want to give back to you what belongs to you. Let's look at three more verses, and then the fun will begin. Leviticus 27:30, which is now the law. It says, one-tenth, everybody say those two words together, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields, fruit from the trees, belongs to who? To the Lord, and must be set apart to him as holy. So here's the plan of God. I'm going to give you all these things. I'm going to give you the crops of the field, the fruit of the trees, and all I'm asking is that you give me 10%, and then you keep the 90% for you. That's the plan. Deuteronomy 14:22 through 23 says it this way. You must set aside a tithe of your crops, one-tenth of all your crops you harvest each year. Bring this tithe to the designated place of worship, the place where we meet God. That would be the church. The place the Lord your God has chosen for his name to be honored. So set it aside from your crops. Bring the first tenth. Bring it to the Lord. Last verse we'll read for this foundation. Proverbs 3:9 says this. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part. Everybody say those two words, best part. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce, saying, Lord, I realize that everything I have is yours. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to recognize you as the source. So I'm going to bring back just the tenth, okay? So what I want to do quickly is I want to do a quick review to make sure you got it, and I think you do, but I just want to make sure there's such a clarity here this morning. Here's the plan. We're to give God 10%, and we get to keep 90%. And I know a lot of us are very visual people. How many people learn visually? I do. I learn visually. I remember probably illustrations more than I remember sermons or lessons, okay? So just a couple weeks ago, I was in a service, and I saw this illustration. And when I saw this illustration, it just was overwhelming. I got it like I never got it before. So this is what I want to do. We're going to have a visual illustration. So if we can come forward, this is what it looks like. If God gives me 10, be careful not to hit that If God gives me 10 cantaloupes, okay, put the cantaloupes on the table, I get the other 9 cantaloupes. How many people know that's a good deal? Okay, we're not done yet. Everybody say, bring more, okay? If God gives me 10 watermelons, let's bring those watermelons here this morning. Hey, I give the first one and the best one. This is God's table. I'm going to give it back to God. And here's the deal. I get 90%. I get 9 watermelons. Isn't that a great deal? Isn't God good? Okay, let's keep moving here. If God gives me 10, what are these, honeysuckles? Honeydew. By the way, does anybody like honeydew? You'll be free to take one of these after the service. If God gives me 10 honeydews, I give my best and my first to God, I get the rest. Isn't this great? Here we go. Let's keep going. If God gives me 10 strands of broccoli, how many people love broccoli? Don't be giving all your broccoli to God and say, God, I'll keep the... No. Broccoli. I give God my best. Is this really the best one? Come on, I got to look. There's one over here that looks a little fuller. Yeah, I'm going to give my best to God, okay? Broccoli. Don't worry. Bananas. How many people love bananas? If I have 10 strands of bananas, or whatever we call these, bananas, I give the first and the best to God, and guess what? I get 9. Isn't God good? Everybody said? Everybody said? Okay, God gave me, he gives me apples. Apples to apples. Granny Smith apple. He gives me 10 apples. I give God the first apple and the best apple. And then I put the rest. He gives me the rest. He said, this is your table. This is my table. We're almost done here. And everybody say, okay, good. What do you have now, Nolan? Potatoes. How do you like those potatoes? Okay. God gives me 10 potatoes. I give my first and my best to God, and then God gives me the other potatoes. 9, he gives me 9 potatoes. Wow, God is good. Okay, where are we at now, Nolan? Little mango. By the way, I'll keep all these to myself after service. Whatever, you know what it is. I'm gonna give my first, this is my first, I'm gonna give it to who? Everybody say, God. How many do I get to keep for me? 9. This math, this is looking really good for me. Here we go. One last. Is this the last one? Everybody say apple. God gives me 10 apples. I give my first, and this is the best one. I give my first apple to God, and he gives me 9 apples. And everybody take a deep breath and say, oh me, oh my. When I first saw this illustration about 5 weeks ago, I sat in a congregation much like you. And when I sat there and I saw this illustration taking place, I want to let you know I was like overwhelmed. I was like, wow, God, look at your table. God, look at my table. And their illustration was really cool because they had so much stuff on it was falling off the table. I could only afford so much. Plus, it was embarrassing going through the checkout line with 10 of everything. They were like, what are you doing? I said, don't ask questions, okay? So it took me 4 times to shop for all this stuff because I refused to be that guy that you got behind, okay? But when I saw this, I was just like, oh my word, God has given me so much. And it was really emotional for me. God, you've given me so much when I looked at this. But here's the problem. We live in a culture today, and the culture likes to send us a lot of different messages, especially when it comes to our money, our belongings. And if we're not careful, the culture is going to begin to speak into our ears, not literally, but figuratively. And I think there's 3 different messages, 3 different voices the culture likes to say to us. First of all, culture likes to say, number one, it's all mine. It's all mine. I was the one that went to work all week. I was the one that got up early in the morning and spent 40 hours a week, not even counting the commute time and all that. I was the one, there was sweat on my brow. I worked hard all week. I even took my work home with me. It's all mine. I worked hard for it. But I need to remind you of a verse that's found in Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, remember, the Lord your God, he is the one who gives you power to be successful. Meaning, I couldn't even got up and went to work this week if it wasn't for God. Meaning, he gave me the ability to get up, the health, the knowledge, whatever it is in your career, your training. He gave you those abilities. So it's really not yours. As a steward, you say, what? Everything belongs to God. I'm in the big bucket. God, it's all yours. It's not mine. It doesn't belong to me, even though you say I worked hard for it. So we need to be careful there. The second voice we often hear is that, you know, I don't have enough. I don't have enough. And I got to be very sensitive here, and that is that a lot of times when you talk about tithing, people will say, well, I don't have enough for this. And my question is that really true, or is there a money management issue going on in your life, a money management issue? Because as I was preparing for this message, I'm reading some statistics and some facts. I learned that the average American lives on somewhere between 105 to 110% of their budget, meaning the average American is spending more money than they make. And I want to let you know, I'm not the sharpest guy in math, but I realize when you begin to spend more than you make, you're in big trouble. And it's going to be a matter of time, the hole is going to become so deep that you're not going to be able to get out of the hole when you're spending more than you make. And how a lot of people handle that issue is they whip out the piece of plastic, they whip out a credit card. So I did some research this week on credit card, and I found out the average credit card debt, and I hope we're all below average here in this area. Do you know the average credit card debt in America is here? Let's look at the number. $16,061. The average American on their credit card owes Mr. Visa, Mr. MasterCard, over $16,000. And I want to let you know, he wants to stay your friend. He wants to keep you as a customer as long as possible. He loves when people pay the minimum payment every month because he knows he's going to have you for a long time. So there are a lot of people who say, well, I just can't afford. I don't have enough. And I think it's time for the church to intervene in this situation because I see this as truth. There are people when you say, Mike, how can I possibly give God 10 when I can't even live on what I have right now? Well, I think the church needs to step up. And one of the ways this church has stepped up already in the past, and we will do it in the future, there's a class called Financial Peace University by Dr. Dave Ramsey. And in that class, Dave Ramsey teaches us how can we use this 90% more effectively. How can we set budgets? How can we make sure that we spend correctly? And I tell you what, I would suggest if you're somebody who says there's no way I can do it, why don't you start taking Financial Peace University so that we can help you figure out how you can use this 90% in a way where you can give to God what belongs to God. I know Heather and I took the class late last year, and I want to let you know that we didn't get a pay raise, but it seemed like we had more money. And the reason why it seemed like we had more money is because we were now managing our money, and we were telling our money where to go instead of our money telling us where to go. So I want to suggest to you, if you need to take that class, come and see me. And I want to suggest to parents, if you have young people, why wait till your kids get in a mess? Why don't you let the church help you and say, hey, we'll help your kid learn how. I think every high school in America, I really do, I think every high school in America should teach Financial Peace University. If I had my way, and I don't, I would say take this class so you can help these kids before they get in over their head. And I believe the enemy is working in this area of debt where people are so indebted that we can't advance the work of God. Amen? So we have people, that's the voice, I don't have enough. And then there's the third voice, and that is, I need more. I need more. If I'm going to be happy, I need more. And that's where greed and that's where materialism fall into place, this need that's saying, I need more. So God, I need more. And what we need to decide is, God, we need to decide what's the difference between a need and a want. A need and a want. A lot of times we get so caught up in not knowing the difference. And we need to learn knowing what's the difference between a need and a want. So those are the three voices of our culture saying, this is why you can't do this, because it just doesn't make sense. Well, I want to let you know it doesn't make sense, but how many people know God's beyond common sense? Amen? Because here's the thing that happens. When we begin to listen to culture, what happens is we begin to steal from God's table. And we begin to take God's stuff. And what we do is we begin to add it to our stuff. How many people know that's not a good place to be? But at the same time, this is nothing new. It's nothing new at all. Actually, this has been happening since the creation of mankind. And actually, there's a recorded story of this happening. People taking from God's table and putting on their table. There's a story of this in the book of Malachi. This is going to be one of our closing scriptures this morning. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Conversation between God and his people. the Israelites. He says, ever since the days of our ancestors, your ancestors, that apple's good, by the way. You have scorned my decrees and you have failed to obey them. And then God says, now return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask this question, how can we return when we have never gone away? They weren't even realized they had slipped away. Verse 8, should people cheat God? Some translations say, should people rob God? But you have cheated me, you've robbed me. But you ask, what do you mean? When have we ever cheated you, God? When have we ever robbed you? Here's the response, you have cheated me of the what? Everybody say together, the tithe and the offering due to me. And God says, you're under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. And then God says in verse 10, he says, bring all the tithe, the whole 10%, bring it into the storehouse. Why? So that there'll be enough room in my temple, meaning the work of God can go forward. The work of God can go forward. And then God gives us amazing promises. He says, if you do, says the Lord of heavenly armies, this is what I'm going to do for you. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. And then we read these words where we see nowhere else in Scripture. It says, God says, try it. Put me to the test. God is really kind of getting into people's face. He says, hey, if you try this, you put me to the test, you'll be amazed what I will do. I heard of a story of a pastor that was preaching this same message on tithing. And he said, folks, I want to let you know, I talked to the biggest donor in our church. And the biggest donor in our church promised me that if people would begin to tithe and give and they weren't happy with the results at the end of the year, the pastor said, the donor told me that they'll take care of it. And everybody was looking around like, wow, I wonder who that is. Is that Erlen? I mean, who is that person that it's gonna who's going to follow through with this promise that if I don't like it, I'm going to get everything back? And then the pastor finally said, I spoke to God this week. I spoke to God. And God told me, I'll take care of those people. I'll take care of them. I want to make the same promise to you. I've talked to our donor, our biggest donor in our church this week. And he told me that if you'll begin to obey God in this area, and if you're not happy with it at the end of the year, God will take care of it. That feels good to me. I don't have to take care of it because I wouldn't get very far with that, okay? But I want to just encourage you. Let's make sure that we're giving our tithe to God. And the promise is this, God, you'll bless me. You'll bless me. You know what I call that? I call that a win-win situation. I love win-win scenarios. There's a couple times I've been in lose-lose scenarios. I don't like lose-lose scenarios. I just lose sleep over those things. But when it comes to tithing, we engage ourselves in what I call a win-win situation. What do you mean, Mike? Well, if you tithe, you win. You win. Meaning God promised that he's going to bless you. He's promised you that he's going to open the windows of heaven, and he's going to bless you so big you're not going to be able to contain it. Can I be very transparent here this morning? Can I be honest? Can I step out of my pastor's position right now? And everybody said yes. This week, as I was preparing for this message, I said, God, in my mind, I said, God, I've been tithing for years. And I said, God, I'm not sure I believe that promise. I'm just being honest with you. I'm saying, God, I don't believe that you are going to open the windows of heaven so big I can't contain it. I mean, I think, wow, Lord, I can take more. And I want to let you know, the impression anyway of God speaking to me was this. Mike, you've become so spoiled that you don't even realize what you got. He said, Mike, do you realize, and it's true of all of us in this room this morning, do you realize we all live in the top one percentile of earning in our world today? We all live in the top one percentile. Yes, there's a lot of flux in the one percentile. I'm not up there with Bill Gates, but how many people know I'm still a part of the one percentile? And God said, you don't realize the blessings you have just being an American today, just having a job. You don't realize the blessings of just being able to go to church every week by your choice. You don't realize the blessing of just even hearing the story of my great love. Do you realize today there's over 3 billion people who have never even had the privilege of hearing of how much God loves the gospel? And I sit here in a country where I'm just being saturated week after week with the gospel, with the good news, with God's word. And God saying, Mike, I've blessed you so many times. You're healthy. You're able to think. You have a wonderful wife. You have wonderful kids. You have a roof over your head. Has there ever been a time, Mike, when you missed a meal? No, there's never been a time. I want to let you know God has been faithful to his promise to me. Amen? And that is that he has opened the windows of heaven. And Father, I sit here today in your presence just saying, forgive me for sometimes just being a spoiled, rotten brat. And Lord, realizing how much you have given me. Lord, I am blessed. You have been true to your word. So when we give, here's the deal. When we give, we are winning. We're open to the blessing of God. We're open. Sometimes the greatest blessing in your life could be God giving you peace, God giving you his presence, God giving you his strength. Man, what God can do in your kids that you can't do, but he pours out his grace because people who line themselves up, God doesn't love you more because you do this. I want you to hear that this morning. God's love for you has already been determined when he sent his son Jesus to die. God can't love you anymore. So this is not an issue of love or God loving you more. This is an issue that when we obey God, he can open greater blessings into your life. That's the issue. Love's not the issue. Blessing's the issue. That when you say, yes, God, I'll do it your way, God says, okay, we can open that window just a little further. I can pour out my blessings because they're walking in obedience. And not only do you win, I want to let you know that when we give of our tithe, the kingdom of God wins. The kingdom of God wins. I just want to share with you some research, and actually this is research from that same message I heard a few weeks ago, and the research was done by a magazine called Relevant Magazine, and they reported this. They said if every Christian in America began to tithe, there would be an additional, check this out, there would be an additional $165 billion for churches to use and contribute. Does anybody else find that astonishing? If every Christian who says, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, if we all begin to give of our tithe and offering, there would be $165 billion sitting at our feet that we could use. Let's put this in perspective. This is what's really cool. Do you realize that $25 billion could relieve global hunger, starvation, deaths from preventable diseases in 5 years? If the church would step up, we wouldn't have to rely on the government. Regardless if you're a Republican or Democrat, we wouldn't have to rely on the government if the people of God would stand up. Listen to this, $12 billion would eliminate illiteracy in 5 years. The church could do that. $15 billion could solve the world's water and sanitation issues, specifically at places in the world where 1 billion people live on less than $1 a day if the church would stand up. Here's one, and I love this one. $1 billion could fully fund all overseas missions work. If the people of God would begin to tithe, we could fund all the missions work. We wouldn't have to come to you and say, hey, would you make a faith promise? Hey, can we do a fundraiser? I really don't, to be honest with you, I'm not big on those things because I'm big on God's way. I'm big on if people would just step up and do it, we wouldn't have to have faith promises. If people would just say, yeah, we could say, God, we could increase our missions giving. If everybody would say yes to God. Here's one last one. There would be an additional $100 to $110 billion still left over for additional ministry and expansion. Folks, I want to let you know, if we would all get on board, and not just us, but people around the world, the kingdom of God would benefit big time, big time, big time, if we would follow his plan, if we would be obedient to the plan of tithing. But here's the other side of the coin. The other side of the coin is in your average church in America. We're talking America, we're not talking worldwide, but in your average church in America, only about 10 to 15% of people are buying into this. They're only buying into that. And actually, of those 10 to 15%, the top givers are people over 50. People over 50. I didn't plan to say this, but I need to take a time out. And I want to talk to every person under 30. And I want to talk to you people under 30, and I would say before you get in the debt that I talked about earlier about living beyond your means and the credit card debt, I would highly suggest that as a young, even as a teenager, if you're working at Dairy Queen and you're making $30 a week, I would suggest start today as a young person giving $3. Amen? Start today. Because you know the mindset is that I'll give when I have more. They actually find out that people that make more give less. Why? Because we fall into this mentality, it's all mine. I did this. And I want to suggest to every young people, as I have sat my son Grant Nolan down, and I said, hey, listen, Bubba, we need the tithe. So Nolan, when you get a check from Walmart, the first and the best goes on this table. And what would it look like if parents, we would instill this in our young people? Because here's the deal. If only people over 50 are giving, we're just generations from churches closing down across America. We're just generations away. It's very frightful because we're not following God's plan. God's plan is we're not people of government assistance, the church. We're people of God's economy. Amen? And this is how it works. This is how it works. We need to do this. And see, our church, and I'm preaching this message at a good time. I'm not preaching out of desperation. Our church is doing wonderful financially. And everybody said, thank you, Jesus. I know our bookkeeper met up with a couple of our board members recently, and they got together. I wasn't involved in the conversation. And our board member showed our bookkeeper our books for last year. About 2 hours later, I got a phone call from our bookkeeper at home, and he said, you guys had an awesome year. Start spending it. And he was so excited for us. And that's wonderful. But even last month, the month of March, we had an amazing March financially. And you know, because of that, and because of the last 6 months, we're able to help people. We've helped people right inside the walls of this church. We've helped people in our community that don't go to our church. We've actually, even this week, we're sending a check to, has anybody ever heard of Convoy of Hope? They help with people in disasters, catastrophes, going through tough times, feeding programs for children, water for children, families. We were able, because of your giving, we were able to send a very substantial check from our tithe, because we tithe. We're not just calling our people to tithe. The board is being called to tithe. We're going to give back what we receive. We're going to give back. And one of the ways we gave back last month was giving the Convoy of Hope. And I tell you what, that is the funnest check to write. That is the funnest check to write to Convoy and say, hey, all those kids that need to eat today, feed them. All those kids that need water today, all those people that have gone through hurricanes, let us be the hands, let us be the feet, let us store up treasures in heaven instead of just here on earth. And if we would just get engaged with God's program, God's plan, if we'd be obedient and be amazed what God can do. This is what I want to challenge you with, and this is a big challenge. So everybody put their feet up because this, I'm going to give you one last good punch, okay? This is what I want to see happen. I want to see this happen. Ultimately, what I want to see happen is there a day when people say, wow, God, wow, you've given, God, it just doesn't seem like 10's enough. Wow, God, there's people who need my help. God, you can have all the broccoli, by the way, God. What I want to see is a day where, and we have a program we're calling Kingdom Builders. And our Kingdom Builders is saying, Lord, people that give beyond the 10%, we want to give towards missions. Why? So those 3 billion people plus that never heard the gospel, never heard that Jesus died for them, never heard that God loves them. God, we want to give more. We want to store up treasures in heaven. And here's my last thought of this morning, the last slide. Let's look at the last slide together. It says this. Actually, I didn't put it on the slide. Let me just read it to you. I've said this in many times, different ways. When you and I do things God's way, we get what? God's result. When you and I will begin to do things God's way, we get God's results. But when we do things our way, we're left open to our results. So let me ask you this morning, whose results do you want? Your results or God's results? Think about that this morning. I want to close with a story because I know it's been very heavy. I want to close with this story. The two men were stranded on an island. One man was just a nervous wreck. He's pacing back and forth. He's scared. Well, the other guy on the other side is just sitting back, laying out in the sun, just enjoying the sunshine, like nothing's wrong. The first man says to the second man, aren't you afraid that we're going to die? That no one's going to come and they're not going to find us? No, the second man said. He said, I make $100,000 a week. And I tithe faithfully to my church every week. He said, I guarantee you my pastor will find me. By the way, I don't know who gives. So that's not the point. But I think if you're making $100,000 a week, I think I'm going to probably catch on, and I'll find you, okay? So can we bow our heads this morning? I know this is a heavy topic, but like I said, I feel like I'd be doing you a tremendous disservice if I didn't talk about this. I felt like I would do a tremendous disservice if we didn't talk about it, because God works through people. He works through our giving. We're the vehicle that God uses to expand the kingdom of God, okay? So, Lord, I just come before you this morning. I just thank you for your word that gives us direction. And, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would just be open to your direction. I'm not even going to try to say anything manipulative. It's just not going to happen. So God, you speak to your people. You speak to their hearts. You lead them and guide them in what you would have them to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen.